A reading from Mark 1, 14 through 20. Jesus announces the good news. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with their hired men and followed him. This concludes the reading of the Lord. So one of my favorite things to do when I have a passage of scripture is to read that passage in a number of different versions. The reason I started doing that years ago was not just because professors said to do that, but was also because it gave me a more expansive understanding of what was happening in that passage. Well, when I received this passage from Pastor Andrew and I was planning on what I was going to say, I was planning to talk about Jesus' call of his disciples. I couldn't wait to share more about that. But when I read the passage, specifically in the Passion Translation, I was struck by verse 15. See, in the NIV, it says, "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." But the Passion Translation says, "Turn your lives back to God. Put your trust in a hope-filled gospel." Put your trust in a hope-filled gospel. Do I believe Jesus is the hope-filled gospel? Jesus, our living hope, that's who he declares himself to be. Jesus, our anchor of hope, the hope of the nations. Do I believe that? See, when Jesus was declaring that about himself, he was declaring that I am the one you've been desiring. I am the expectation you've been waiting for. I am here to change the world and you. So for me, this verse brought a lot of questions. And today, as we study this passage, my hope is, my expectancy is, my desire is that Jesus will plant new seeds of hope within us. And that as we sit in his presence, that they will gain ground for each one of us to know him more. Will you pray with me? Jesus, thank you that you are our living hope. Jesus, thank you that you are our anchor of hope. Jesus, you are the only hope for the nations. And so today, Lord, we want to be vessels that can receive your seedlings of hope. Come water us so that our expectancy can grow in you and that we will quickly follow you when you ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Allie. So we are going through the Gospel of Mark for a year, and we have just been getting started on it. There's some cards in the back that show which passages we'll be covering at which weeks in case you want to look at it together or on your own or with someone else. Every week we will have that whole passage read. The speaker of the day may not cover the whole passage because some of them are a little longer than others, but we'll always have them read, and often we're going to have someone else share a little bit before the teacher of the day gives the message. So, I love how Allie started us, trust in a hope-filled gospel. Let's look at Mark 1, 14 through 15 again, After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Turn your lives back towards God and trust in a hope-filled gospel, so is conveying that as well. And I want to start just by reminding you, maybe you weren't here, the first Sunday we started this series, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, that's how Mark starts. It's saying we are talking about the good news concerning Jesus the Messiah, and good news is a theme that's going to keep coming up. And so when Jesus, Mark starts his gospel saying, Jesus is the good news. Jesus shows up and he says, I want you to know the good news is here. It's available. It's accessible right now. There is another kind of life, a reality immersed with God, a reality that's God's kingdom, that's where God reigns, where what God wants to happen happens. That is available, accessible right here and now. So step into it. So step into it. So he talks about the good news, and he calls for response. Repent, change, step into it. Live your life in it, because it is accessible to you. That's where he starts. Now, going on a little farther, he's walking along the lake. He sees Simon. He sees Andrew. He sees these fishermen. Verse 17, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, there's a Greek word that Mark uses a lot, like 40 or 50 times. He uses it. The first time it comes up was actually last week's passage where Jesus was sent out immediately. There's this at once, without delay, immediately are the ways it gets translated into English, but it's the same Greek word, and Mark's using it a lot, especially in the first half of Mark. It is like, we are going to keep this thing moving. Jesus is here, the kingdom of God is available, and he is on the move, and it is time, and it is without delay, at once, immediately, we're moving to the next thing. And so, when we put those two things together now, there is the good news is accessible, it's available, God himself, God's ways, God's reality, it's accessible, available to us, and we are supposed to change, to step into it, to live into it, and then there's this at once, immediately, without delay. So when he calls Simon and Andrew, they respond at once. And then he, without delay, he does it, offers it again to John and James, and they respond, and then they're off to the next place. It's like there is an urgency. There is an immediately. There is a response that we are going to make one way or the other, and the time has come. The time is now. That's what Jesus is saying, and that's how some people are responding to him. So, let me say this first, a little aside. So we are going to try something different here at Celebrate Church next school year. And that's how we're going to do discipleship. We are going to have groups that are going to meet from starting around September, August, September, through the spring, March, April, something like that. They might meet every week for a season. They might take a whole month off at a time. And they might say, well, we're going to meet here now. This month, we're just going to have a meal together. Maybe we're going to watch something together, or maybe we're going to study something together for a while. They're going to look different. Different leaders are going to organize them, focus them different ways. But 4 to 12 people saying, we're going to run with these people in an intentional way for this season. And one thing that I talked about last week is that God himself is a communal God. So in the passage last week, we God the Father spoke, a voice from heaven, this is my son. He spoke, the Spirit descended, and Jesus the Son was there. Like God is there in three different persons. It's one God, but three different persons. That's why we just sang that song, Praise the Father, Son, the Spirit, all are there. And that is what's revealed through the Bible. So somehow in a mysterious way, it's one God, but it's God in community with itself. And then God is ever expanding, inviting us to be in community with him and with each other. And so when we say yes to Jesus and to the life he offers and to the reality that he offers, we are stepping into his community. And he desires his people to be intentionally walking with each other and growing with each other in community. He does it right here with these disciples. And he keeps on doing it. And when he went up and ascended to heaven and sent his Spirit, and they, the believers were there, they stepped into that reality. And they met as a big group. They met in the temple courts every day, it said in Acts 2. And they met in each other's homes every day. So there is something to coming to something like this that is good. But there also needs to be community, something smaller than Sunday, something smaller than this, where we're intentionally with other people. That's important, whether it's in service together, in growth together, some combination together, but it's important. So we are going to talk more about this in May, and in, especially in June and July. So these are the kinds of groups that are emerging, or maybe you will begin your own, but the idea is we want to intentionally live forever. We aren't signing up, or live together. We aren't signing up forever. We're doing it for a year, but we're not just doing a few weeks and then off. That's not community. We're trying to celebrate communities happening. Okay, that's an aside. Now I want to get to more of the main focus that I want to work on in this morning. So verse 17 again, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." I will send you out to fish for people. This is in the context that Jesus is saying, you know, good news, God is available. The reality of God, the goodness of God, the presence of God is available to you. So you're going to have to change and step into it. And there is some urgency. The time has come now. Without delay, they responded. At once, they responded. Immediately, they responded. Immediately, he asked them to respond. All of that is there. And in that light, when they respond, he says, "I am going to make you fishers for people." I looked at six different commentaries. I think every single one of them referenced Jeremiah in this idea of what would they think of in fishers for people. And it's not the Sunday school or the Sunday school VBS songs I sang about being fishers of men. In Jeremiah, the idea of fishing for people has to do with divine judgment, that God was going to catch people to punish them for their sins. That is, so again, there is an urgency here. There is the sense of like, this matters hugely. This is ultimate. This is eternal. This is what's at stake. But Jesus has a different angle. Instead of saying, "I'm going to catch people for divine judgment," he's saying, "I'm going to catch people out of divine judgment. And I want you to do it with me." That is part of my call. So Jesus is, his mission gets into the reality of who God is too, because God is a missionary God. God so loved the world that he would send his son, that he would send himself for it. He would send his Holy Spirit. He came to seek and to save what was lost. He is looking for people. They matter to him. Everyone matters to him. And when there is distance, when people have stayed distant and away from God, he comes looking because he's a missionary God. And he says, "I want you," Jesus said, "I want you to do this with me." That we would go looking for people and helping invite them back to know this reality. It's such good news. It's hope-filled news. God is for us. He loves us. He wants to restore us. He wants to have an eternal destiny with us that gets better and better and better. That's what he wants. And he wants everyone part of it. And we, by our nature, somehow we resist it. We hide from it. We leave it. And so he's coming after us. And he does things that only he can do, and that we could never figure out and do on our own, but he does them through people. And so this is the part of the response. Will we say yes to that? Will we say yes to the call Jesus has? I care about people.
including, and maybe sometimes in some sense, especially those that are distant from me, relationally speaking. Will you come looking for them with me? The time is now to decide whether you will sign up for that, to go with him looking for people. We've been reading a book here, Reviving Mission. The staff went through it together. The elder board is over halfway through it together. One of the co-authors, John Heatbrink, and his wife were here last month on a Saturday morning, and maybe I didn't hear from every single person, but I felt like I did. I felt like there were 40 of us there, and they were all like, this was unbelievable. This was so good. This was, you know, and particularly John and Stephen, the way they read, but the book is really good too. One of the things they talk about in the book is the title, Reviving Mission. He said that captures kind of three main reasons that they wrote the book is captured in the title. And the one is just reviving the word mission. Because the mission word can feel misunderstood. It could feel old. It could feel like it doesn't connect. And they are trying to say what we're encouraging people towards is God's mission. It's the mission of Jesus, of getting to join him. And there's a freshness that comes just in the idea of mission and what it means in the light of following Jesus. They're trying to revive that because it's not boring. And it's not, hopefully I'll unpack more in a couple ways with some stories. This is what it's like, not maybe necessarily the first things that come to mind. That's what they're saying in writing the book. They're also saying that reviving mission, it's a mission that revives the people we're sent to. People who are hurting or broken or addicted or lost or have been hurt in the church or have left the church or have never been to church. It's trying to get to those people in a way that's hope-filled. This is good news. So it revives people because it's good news. It revives people because it's real, because God is real, because God really cares. And so when we join him in that, the mission will revive who we go to. It has just a latent potency ready for that to happen. And so that's why they wrote the book. But they also said reviving mission doesn't just revive those we're sent to. It revives those of us who are sent. That when we have that kind of purpose, when we see God at work and we are part of it, we get energized. We become alive again. We have purpose. We get revived. That is part of what happens when we join Jesus on his mission. Because he cares so much, he didn't come for the healthy. He came for sick people. And when you're part of seeing sick people become more well, despairing people become more hopeful, when you see those little things, you get revived. And so the question is, when Jesus says, come, follow me, join me in reaching people, join me in bringing good news, hope to people, join me in that, what is your response? Because the time is now. We don't wait till life is over to join Jesus in the mission that he has for us. What is your response? And if you have some sense, because you're a follower of Jesus, like, yeah, I think I want to be part of that, I want to offer a few thoughts that I have. And being a person who's been trying to be on mission with Jesus to varying degrees of commitment and success over the years, but some things that I've learned about it. So when I partner with Jesus' mission, one of the things that's most important to remember is it's Jesus' mission. Like, I'm trying to get things done that only God could do. And I'm trying to join with what he wants to do. I don't have to feel all this pressure on myself. That I have to be perfect, I have to do it perfect, I'm in this with Jesus, actually he's the leader. I'm just along for the ride, but I am part of it. It matters whether I'm part of it or not. It matters whether I try or not. It matters. So that's the start. The second thing I would say, that's the overall arching thing. The second thing I would say is that it really matters if it's done out of love. What's the motivating factor? Now, that doesn't mean I need to have the feeling all the time, or it also doesn't mean that God can't work even when I don't have the right motivations. He really does. It says it in Philippians. All that matters is the good news is preached. Jesus can work in all kinds of ways. But in general, what is most impactful and powerful is when love is involved, when the intention of good for the other is involved. God so loved the world that he sent his son to save it. And when we partner with Jesus, we are joining into this love for people, love for the world. In a couple weeks, we'll look at a passage where Jesus is moved with compassion. So many times when compassion is involved, power is released in ministry. Impact is released in ministry when our hearts are moved. I've seen quite a few people come to faith over my life. And one of the things that helps me to know, like, this is really happening, is when that happens. I think people who come here probably think I'm a blubbering, I cry all the time. So everyone, I'm actually, especially more longer, I cry less. I don't, but when it comes, I feel like I'm getting in touch with something with God. And I'm getting in touch with his heart for a person. And then I know, like, okay, something's happening on this morning or in this situation or with this person. And the hope rises that, okay, God is on the move. And I think it's when we get connected to the Lord's heart of love. So that's one thing. I don't know why I'm putting these back on. I'm kind of done reading. The second thing would be prayer. Again, what we're going for when we partner with Jesus is things that only Jesus could do, only God can do. So when we pray, we are involved. And one of the prayers might be, pray that I love people. You know, pray that I care. I may put on the prayer, but also just praying for whatever person or situation God has put on your heart, and pray and keep on praying and don't give up. And keep on praying and watch over time as steps are taken, and then steps go way back, and then steps are taken close, and you just see a person journeying further in their life with God, and you're part of it. And maybe that's all you do sometimes. Just pray from a distance. Just pray with other people. You pray, but you do pray. And then a thing that I think is super important is to listen to people, to show interest in people. That, I don't know, it's a cliche phrase, but I think it's true. People don't care what you know. Even if it's the hope-filled gospel, they don't care what you know until they know that you care. And I've spent quite a bit of time in the last few days looking at some of the best research related to unchurched people and their openness to the gospel. And the two biggest things that people who are unchurched have concerns about in terms of coming to church or having conversations is that they're going to be judged. And the second thing is that that they're going to be told, like, this is what you need to do. This is what, like, there's a certainty coming at them. Unchurched people, in general, that's going to be like a step back for them often. It's not that we don't have convictions and we don't speak truth, and that's true. It's just that's not often a good starting place with people. But listening is asking a follow-up question, asking their perspective, asking about their spiritual journey, asking what they think about, asking and just really listening and finding things in there that you can affirm in what they share, even if a lot of what they do is a lot different. Part of the statistics, this is very interesting to me, part of the statistics say a person who doesn't go to church in the statistical world, in the research world, how they're defining that, an unchurched person is that in the last year, they have not gone to church except maybe for a wedding, a funeral, or Christmas or Easter. That would be it. But if they haven't gone to church anything more than that, then they're considered unchurched people in the research they're doing. 55% of unchurched people in America, 55% say they're Christians. 55% of people who don't go to church at all still say they're Christians. And I don't remember the percentage, so I'm not going to throw it out, but a significant percent, especially of them, think they're going to be coming back to church someday. They're open. And the thing that would be most likely to get them to consider doing that and actually follow through with it is if a family member or a friend they trust invites them. Now, there's a good percentage of people who don't want and are resistant and are going to say no. But the research shows whether it's those people who identify as Christian or the other 45%, there's a huge portion who are open to it, who actually think, yeah, I think I am going to do that at some point. Who is going to them? And so that gets to my last point. I think we need to love, and I think we need to pray, and I think we need to listen. We need to show intent and not just have a person be like our evangelism project, but we actually care about them and find out about them and show interest. I think that all matters, but I also think at some point we actually have to say the name of Jesus to people. Or at least start with ways about like inviting to church, or can I pray for you, or tell me about your faith, or let me, you know, my faith is important to me, something. But I mean, the name of Jesus is where the power is at. And at some point, we have to have courage. In the early church, in Acts, they are persecuted, right? There's like resistance. So some people are coming to faith, but then they're getting attacked. And their prayer in the midst of that isn't, take the attack away. That's not their prayer. Their prayer isn't, keep me safe. Their prayer isn't, don't make me feel awkward or uncomfortable ever. That's not their prayer. I mean, you think about it, like we have people who are risking their lives, who literally could be killed or imprisoned, or you know, things could happen to their family all over the world for the sake of Jesus. And our thing is like, I'll feel just awkward. I don't want them to feel awkward. I don't want to feel awkward. Their prayer is, give us courage to be bold. Do you need courage to be bold? Then ask for it. Do you need love so that you actually care enough to be bold? Then ask for it. Where to go before we go? So, a couple years ago, Clay Corver was speaking here. Clay worked here for like 3 years, but he was just back kind of as a guest teacher. And before he gave his message, he told everybody, you know, get out your cell phones right now and, you know, pray for God to bring somebody to mind and send them a blessing. So I'm over there and I pray for somebody to come to mind. And the person that came to mind, I'm like, I don't know how they'll take me doing this, but it was who came to mind, so I kind of, okay, here it went, and it was, thanks for that kind of response. But after that, I felt like I was supposed to pray for this person and her family every day, just sort of out of the blue. This people go to church occasionally, I think. They're not here, but somewhere else, okay. But it was on my mind, so, and at the time, what we're really emphasizing is to pray for three. Pray for three people every day that would get, you know, that aren't fully following Jesus. And so I pray for this person. I pray for their family. Within a few months, I know you know where this story is going. They did some things and I did not like them. I was like, I do want to talk to them to give them a piece of my mind. And I didn't get to see them very often anyway, and like nothing. I'm praying for them every day. If you pray for someone every day, by the way, for a few months, and some of you do, especially family members, but if you're, it's like, I think this is who God wants me to pray for. And then you see like nothing positive, only negative, actually. And so eventually, you know, I still pray for them occasionally, but they were no longer my three. I just moved on. Because I have many people that I want to, and this just didn't seem where it was at. And then not long ago, they initiated getting together. And eventually, there were spiritual conversations happening. I prayed out loud for them. And things happened. And so I may have moved on, but God didn't waste any of those prayers for that time. This week, there's another guy that I prayed for a lot back in the day. But I hadn't seen him in a long time. And he comes up to me. I haven't seen him in a long time. He comes up to me and he's like, hey, he starts telling me something's like, when you said this one time, it made such a huge impact. I mean, he starts tearing up. I was like, why are we having this conversation right now? We're out in public. Like, this is very strange to me. There were like multiple years where I was like, ready. Like, I think about what would I say? Because I really care about this person. I want them to, I know they don't go to church. I know they are not living in a way that follows God. And nothing. And then this person initiates with me. Before I could say anything, they're saying it. So I'm like, water's warm. I say, you should come to celebrate. There's a look like, whoa, wait, what are you, crazy? And I go, no, really, you should. You should. And they're like, I don't know. And they're just kind of like, nah. And I'm like, no, really, I think you should. So I just decided, like, well, all right, we're not this far. You know, I'm like right here. I'm like, we're just going to go. I just like, I think you should. And they're like, maybe. You know, I can't this week, but next time, okay. I think. And by the end, they brought it up. I moved on. Like, I had pushed hard. It's time to back off. I promise you that I am going to do everything I can to get there. I know he can't this week. That's why I feel at safe talking about it. So a person who I didn't, but there was all this love and prayer leading up to it, and then there was a willingness to, like, shoot my shot. Now, there's another person that same day this week who I hadn't seen in a while. I know they don't go to church. And I just texted my concern. I haven't seen you for a while. I texted my concern. And they basically said, yeah, some stuff happened, and so I don't really want to talk about it. Okay. Any way I can help? I don't really want to help. Okay. Well, I'm praying for you. Okay. Thank you for that. I'm going to send my good thoughts to you, too. So that shows where they're at with God. Like, okay, I ain't even going to. Okay. So, and then a little bit later, I get a text. Could you pray for this? And then a little later, I get a text. Well, this is kind of a little bit more what happened. I said, well. And so then I knew this is what it was about. They know I work here. They know I'm a pastor. And they're thinking, like, if he knows, then he's not going to. I said, well, we all need grace, and there's plenty of it here. If you change your mind about needing help, let me know. Nothing until the next day. I will. And I think, yeah, I will. And we talked later this week in person. God is at work all the time. Now, I did not shoot my shot that time. All I wanted to know, this person know, is I care about them. That was it. And I'm praying for them. That's a step. Couldn't these things happen all the time? So a pastor, his name's Colby, works in a small city in Illinois, started a new church, outreach and missions pastor. And so first week, he thought, I want to know kind of where this church is at in terms of their sense of, like, wanting to reach people out there. So he says, I'm going to go to restaurants right around this town. So he goes to a restaurant right across the street from the church that he knows the staff go to and lots of other church people go to. So he goes there, and he gets into a conversation with the manager and the waitress. The waitress has been at this restaurant for 5 years. The manager's been at this restaurant for 10 years. And he says, so, do you know anybody from Heartland Church? No? No, I don't think so. Nobody from Heartland Church? No? Has anybody here, have there been any Christians here that have offered to pray for you or been particularly kind to you and encourage you in a certain time or told a story about their own faith. They both think, no, I don't think so. He said, see that church over there through the window? That's Heartland Church. And the waitress said, that's a church? I didn't know that. And the manager said, really? And he went and he got his card and he said, you know people there? Yeah. Hey, can you tell them about this place? Can you, we've got specials. And then Colby said, he goes on to just talk with great passion. Like, we do a great job here, and we serve people, and we're just a good place, and like all the reasons. And he left realizing evangelism just took place in that church for the first time, but it was evangelism to get the people from the church to come to the restaurant, not the other way around. Not that they're getting it, but just no sense of like an opportunity there. You go there all the time. I will say this. One of my main advocates for people coming to this church works at a restaurant, has never been to this church, but I'll sit there and be eating a meal with him and say, you should go to this person's church. You should go to his church. You should. And they'll say like, can you pray for me for this? Can you pray for me for that? And it's fun because I meet there with non-Christians and Christians alike, and sometimes they just look like, what is happening here? Because I initiate zero of it, but I did shoot my shot once. And I will shoot a shot again. Because his soul matters. And that is the motivating force for this. People's souls matters. And Jesus says, good news. You can be part of restoring people's souls with me. The time is now. Do you want to get in on it? Let's pray. God, where we are lacking in our knowing the hope-filled good news, would you give a spirit of wisdom and revelation about how awesome you are, how much hope there is, how much you are worth it. Where we have apathy and a lack of love, pray for your spirit to come and give us your heart for other people. Where we are afraid, insecure, unsure, so would you give us courage? Where we have a desire and we have tried, but we've been discouraged, would you bring encouragement? If there are particular situations or persons that you want us to be praying for and listening to, reaching out to, would you put them on our hearts today? In the days to come. And would you do things that only you can do? Would you save and deliver and rescue and restore, convert? In Jesus' name, amen.